يقول الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن الكريم: كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. In this ayah, Allah Ta'ala praised the nation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as it is being the best of nations. And Allah Ta'ala specified this praise because this ummah orders al-ma'roof and forbids al-munkar. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرُهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ رواه مسلم. This hadith means, whoever amongst you sees an unlawful act, a munkar, let him change it by hand. If one was unable to change it by hand, then let him change it by tongue, by the advice. If one was unable to change it by the tongue, then let him reject that in the heart, and that is the least of al-Iman. Insha'Allah Ta'ala, we will explain the importance of ordering al-ma'roof and forbidding the munkar of nowadays. It is very important for the da'iyah, for the caller, the one who is spreading the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam according to Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, to stick to the truth and to the unanimous agreement of the Muslims, and to have the manners of the great scholars of Islam, and how they were stern in ordering the lawful and forbidding the unlawful. They did not compromise the rules of the religion. They were abiding by the rules that all the scholars of Islam agreed upon, which is the ijma', and they had said the truth even in front of the imposters and the deviant ones. And this is a praised thing in the religion. Especially nowadays, many people misuse the name of Islam and cause fitna and tribulation. And so we were ordered to stand as defenders for the religion and callers for the good advice, to affirm the truth and warn from the misguided sects. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, himself warned from those who cheat people in the food, as was narrated by Imam Muslim in his Sahih in Kitab al-Iman, Bab Qawlu Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Man ghashana laysa minna. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام من غشنا فليس منا. In this hadith, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام clearly warned against the one who was cheating in the food, selling the wheat that was wet without showing that to the people. And it was also confirmed that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم spoke about two people. He said, مَا أَظُنُّ فُلَانًا وَفُلَانًا يَعْرِفَانِ مِنْ دِينِنَا شَيْئًا. This hadith was narrated by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih in Kitab al-Adab, in which where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I do not think so and so among the people know about our religion anything. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is talking about them, describing their ignorance and warning from such ignorance. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam also did not neglect stopping the khatib who was giving a speech, who said, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ رَشَدْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِهِمَا فَقَدْ غَوَى. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said to that person, بِئْسَ الْخَطِيبِ أَنْتِ. And the reason he said that to him, which is a dispraise to that person who's giving the speech, because he combined the name of Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in one word by saying, and the one that disobeys them, meaning the Prophet, Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so the Prophet dispraised him and stood up and said to him, بِئْسَ الْخَطِيبِ أَنْتِ. You should say, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, instead of saying وَمَنْ يَعْصِهِمَا. So if the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام did not neglect such minor situation, what about the situation where a person is promoting disbelief or misguidance or kufr or teaching the people the misguidance? What about the people who are spreading accusations against the Muslims? وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. We ought to warn from those more than warning from the ones that cheat us in selling items or selling a car without showing its defects or the like. We ought to warn from those who mislead people and those who cause tribulation among the communities and the Muslims. And among those who did that is a devious sect called the Wahhabis. This sect has accused the Muslims with shirk, has declared many of the Muslims as disbelievers. Great Muslim scholars were considered by them as deviant, misguided, and blasphemers. And that is because these great scholars had authored in their books great refutations to the beliefs that these Wahhabis carry. It is very unfortunate to see that Wahhabis nowadays are using the name of the Salaf when the Salaf is truly clear from their ill beliefs, and we will show that inshallah. But before I give the proofs and the reasons behind us warning from the misguidance of the Wahhabis and other misguided sects, I would like to clarify something, which is, one has to be firm about the facts that he is talking about. One has to have the knowledge, and it's haram, forbidden for one to speak in the religion, in the religious matters, without knowledge. So the one who wants to warn against the misguidance and the misguided sects is obligated to first have the knowledge and stick to the truth, especially to the ijma' of the Muslims of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. And one has to be warning with the intention of showing the truth to prevail and to defend the religion and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so that person has to be gentle when giving an advice and has to be telling the truth at all times. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by our message and by our explanations to guide those who are misguided. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite our ummah under the banner of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and to keep us among the majority of the Muslims, which are hundreds of millions of Muslims of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. And we say that all of them have been sticking and adhering to the truth, alhamdulillah for that. And that is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا يجمع الله أمتي على ضلالة. Among the things that we're going to explain is some of the things that one, if he was just, would not dare to ignore, rather will rush to warn people from. Among the misguidance of the Wahhabi sect that opposed the Muslims, and for your information, the Wahhabis emerged about 250 years ago and had revived the call and the books of their forefather Ibn Taymiyyah al-Harrani, whom was declared by the scholars of his time of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah as a murtad. And the reason for their declaration is because he used to say things that oppose the Quran and the Hadith and the Ijma'. In fact, Imam As-Subki, who clearly declared Ibn Taymiyyah as a blasphemer, said Ibn Taymiyyah breached the Ijma' of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah in more than 60 issues, 60 masail. And that is why we are seeing Wahhabis nowadays causing tribulations in the Muslim Ummah. In any country they go into it, they cause tribulations, they accuse Muslims with takfir, they declare them as blasphemers and permit killing them by the name of Islam, and they bomb here and there by the name of Islam, and Islam is clear and disowns their claims. Dear brothers and sisters from Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah and all Muslims, alhamdulillah that Allah Ta'ala made us aware of the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in sticking, ordering al-ma'roof and forbidding al-munkar and sticking to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we thank Allah Ta'ala for making us among the millions of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah that have been always on the truth. And we wish the guidance for others as well, namely Wahhabis as well. But the reason we are warning from the misguidance that they carry is because they are using the name of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah falsely. They are ruining the reputation of the great Salaf, the great scholars from the Salaf area, the first 300 years after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they are causing tribulations in the Ummah. And we are going to show this with full references, inshaAllah ta'ala. And we hope that this will be a widespread benefit for us and for others. And for your information, inshallah, if anyone has any comment regarding any of these quotations that I'm going to quote, let them bring it forward, inshallah, and we will have a good educational discussion or debate if they wish. Among the misguidance and radical ideas of the Wahhabis against the Muslims, we're not talking about the Aqidah today. Their misguidance in Aqidah is numerous. Among them is their claim that Allah sits on the throne, and that Allah has bodily parts and organs, and that Allah has a size and shape and moves up and down, goes from the arsh all the way to the first sky literally. And they say Allah descends literally and ascends literally. And they liken Allah to the creations, wal'iyadu billah, in a very ugly manner, talking about Allah in a way that no Muslim will accept. And we have proofs on all of that. But today's lesson is about the radical ideas against the Muslims, which might answer some of the questions that people have about why are some of the problems happening in some of the Muslim communities and some of the Muslim countries. Why are there bombings, suicide killings here and there by the name of the religion of Islam? The truth is, the root cause of all of this is the radical ideas that Ibn Taymiyyah and Wahhabis came with. Among them is what we read in their book called Fathul Majid, page 190, they accuse hundreds of millions of Muslims with shirk and blasphemy, wal'iyadhu billah. Likewise, the Mufti of the Shafi'is in his book Ad-Durar As-Sunniyya fi al-Raddi ala al-Wahhabiyya, in page 46, he describes how the Wahhabis declared hundreds of millions of Muslims with blasphemy, wal'iyadhu billahi ta'ala. Also, the Wahhabis permit the killing of the Muslims who oppose them. You might see this in the book that I just mentioned in page 42 and their book called Umara'ul Balad al-Haram, page 297, and the newspaper called As-Safir on 2001, page 11, how the politician Muhammad Hassanein Haykal discusses the ugly agenda of the Wahhabis in declaring the Muslims with takfir wal'iyadhu billahi ta'ala. Also, dear brothers and sisters, in their book called Ad-Din al-Khalis, authored by Al-Qannuji, in page 190 of book Fathul Majid as well, the Wahhabis oppose all Sunni scholars of Ahlus Sunnah and they breach the unanimous agreement of the Muslims, and in fact, literally, their leader Al-Qannuji in that book said, "Inna taqlid al-madhahibi shirkun wal'iyadhu billah," which means they claim that following the four schools of Ahlus Sunnah, taqlid is shirk. You can find this in page 140 from the book of called Ad-Din al-Khalis. I'm referring the mentioning the books in Arabic so that it's easy to find them if you want to verify this information. So if they consider the majority of the Muslims as mushriks, because you all know that the majority of Muslims today follow the four schools of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, then who remains as a Muslim today? If they say that following the schools of Ahlus Sunnah is shirk, then who is left as a Muslim? And this shows how extreme they are in their beliefs. And I wonder how could a person, any Muslim, after hearing such or reading such statements in their books, how could one stop and ignore warning from these extremist faction that promotes takfir and tafjir and fitna in the Muslim countries? A just and sincere Muslim will not stop from warning, or first let me say, will not stop from advising these people and warning from those who reject the advice. Also, among the things where Wahhabis consider most of the Muslims as evildoers, a fatwa came by their leader named Al-Albani in his book called Fatawa Al-Albani, page 63, where he says that visiting the graves of the Muslims on Eid celebration is a forbidden bid'ah. And you all know that all the Muslims, they do visit the graves of the Muslims on the day of Eid. And their leader Ibn Baz, in his fatawa also, declared a fatwa, verdict, saying that the one who recites Quran for the dead Muslims is a misguided person. So brothers and sisters, after you hear this fatwa, one would ask himself, who is remaining among the Muslims if all the majority or whoever recites Quran or Al-Fatiha to the dead amongst the Muslims, then he is considered a misguided person. Where are the righteous Muslims then? Also, brothers and sisters, the Wahhabis claim that the majority of Muslims, in fact, they said 3/4 of the Muslims today, are blasphemers. You can see this in their book called Fathul Majid, page 190, as well as one of their preachers in the Masjid al-Nabi, alayhi salatu wassalam, after the Fajr prayer in 1996. He said that out loud, that 3/4 of the Muslims, according to the Wahhabis, are disbelievers, wal'iyadu billahi ta'ala. So why would you wonder, how could you wonder after this, why Wahhabis consider that Muslims, they permit killing them by the name of Islam and bombing them here and there by the name of religion, wal'iyadu billah. They say that recite the Quran for the dead Muslims is punishable and devious misguidance. You can see this in the book of Ibn Baz, as I said, and in their book called Tawjihat Islamiyah, page 137. And page 332 in their book called Fatawa Muhimma. So if reciting Quran is forbidden and punishable, then what is rewardable in the religion, dear brothers and sisters? Also, Ibn Baz, in one of the magazines called A Telegraph, page 2000 and, magazine number 2754, in 1994, issued a fatwa with unconditional lifetime peace with the Jews, with the Yahud, who are occupying our land in Palestine. And also at the same time, they accused the Palestinians with kufr, with blasphemy, and ordered them to leave Palestine for the Jews, issued by Al-Albani in his fatwa, in his book called Fatwa Al-Albani, page 18. And also this fatwa was reported by the magazine called Al-Liwa, which is a Jordanian magazine, in 1992. It was issued. And there is also a recorded tape by one of their leaders saying that the Muslims should leave Palestine for the Jews. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And so the Muslim would ask, why would they accuse the Muslims with shirk and kufr, and on the other hand say, give fatwas that are in service for the Jews, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. You be the judge. Please check the references and let us know if there is any comments regarding it. The Wahhabis also, falsely Salafis, who misuse the name of the Salaf, these Wahhabis accused the creed of the Azhar of Egypt with shirk. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. They said about the Azhar scholars, they said that creed, that their belief, their aqidah is a shirki aqidah. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. As it was mentioned in their magazine called Al-Dhikra, and a tape recorded by their voice, and we have that available for whom wants to see. And we as Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah say that throughout the time, the Azhar has been a great reference for all the Muslims for over 1,000 years, where great scholars of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah were teaching the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, that Allah Ta'ala exists without a place, without a resemblance to the creations, and that Allah Ta'ala does not need any of the creations, and that Allah Ta'ala is not a body and is clear from an image or form, and that all the Muslims throughout time, the majority of them, will be on the truth and will be following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even though there will be sects and groups that will emerge opposing the Quran and the Sunnah, such as the Mu'tazila, Jahmiya, Mushabbiha, and Mujassima, like the Wahhabis, which we are talking about today. Wahhabis also, from their ignorance, they mentioned in one of their books called Al-Iman Bil-Anbiya'i Jumla for Abdullah bin Zayd in the book printed in Beirut. They said that Prophet Adam is not a prophet. They said Adam was not a prophet. So they deny the prophethood of the first human being, which is Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam. Also, these Wahhabis accused Our Lady Eve, Hawa. Not only the Muslims, they accused them with shirk. In fact, they accused Lady Eve, Hawa, the wife of Adam alayhi salam, with shirk. They said, the fact is, shirk started by Hawa, wal'iyadu billahi ta'ala. You can see this in their book, so-called Ad-Dinul Khalis, in page 160. So how could one, as a sincere Muslim and a defender for the Prophet's creed and the creed of the true Salaf, sit there while knowing that there is a sect that promotes such beliefs in their books and are giving it to the poor countries, and they are working night and day to promote their misguidance? How could one sit and not warn people from this, from this misguidance and the extremism of this sect? The true, sincere Muslim who is keen to be a defender to the religion will not stay at home, not warning from such misguided group. Among also the misguidance of this sect, the Wahhabis, they accuse the great companion, our master, Sayyiduna Bilal ibn al-Harith al-Muzani, with shirk for touching the Prophet's grave sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As you all know, it is confirmed that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permitted tawassul and tabarruk by his hair sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As it is confirmed in Al-Bukhari that when he died, he spread his hair to the people, to the Sahaba. And it's confirmed that after he was buried sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba used to come and visit his grave. Among them is our master Bilal al-Habashi, and among them is Bilal ibn al-Harith al-Muzani, who came and visited the Prophet's grave and touched it. And also Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, he came and he rubbed his face on the stone of the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and none of the scholars or the Sahaba objected on him. In fact, our master Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal radiyallahu anhu himself said, there is no harm and there is no objection on touching the mimbar, or part of the mimbar, the knob of the mimbar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also his son Abdullah reported that Sayyiduna Ahmad bin Hanbal used to have a hair that belonged to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he used to seek barakah and blessings from that hair. Yet the Wahhabis nowadays, they declared our master Bilal ibn al-Harith with al-Muzani with shirk for touching the Prophet's grave. They consider that grave worship. They accuse the Muslims with worshipping the graves, wal'iyadu billah. And you can see this under the commentary of Ibn Baz on the book of Fathul Bari for Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani al-Ash'ari, whom they used his book and they inserted into it things that he does not accept. And that is in volume 2, page 75. And you can see also his commentary on Sharh al-Bukhari, page 95, how they accused Bilal ibn al-Harith with shirk for visiting and touching the grave of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear brothers, there's a lot to say about this deviant and misguided sect. They did not only accuse the Muslims and the Ummah with shirk, in fact, their accusations and their insults also reached the great companions, as we just mentioned. And also they accused Our Lady Fatima, the daughter of the most beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the wife of the fourth Khalifa, Al-Imam Ali radiallahu anhu. They said, in fact, their leader Ibn Taymiyyah, in his book called Minhaj al-Sunnah al-Nabawiyyah, which is not according to the Sunnah, he said in that book that Fatima, the Prophet's daughter, had some hypocrisy. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. He said, إِنَّ فِيهَا شُبَهًا مِنَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. How could a person accept or ignore warning from such misled people that accuse the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with such a bad insult, and they accuse the Sahaba with worshipping the graves? Not only that, even Ibn Taymiyyah objects in one of his books on our master Abdullah bin Umar for praying in places where our Prophet used to pray. And he claimed that this act is a reason to committing shirk. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. He said about Abdullah bin Umar for praying in the places where the Prophet used to pray. He used to do that for barakah. So Ibn Taymiyyah said, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ ذَرِيعَةٌ لِلشِّرْكِ وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Which means this doing of Abdullah bin Umar is a reason to shirk, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. As if he is saying that Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar is promoting shirk. Yet, we all know that Abdullah bin Umar used to dear and love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam greatly, to the extent once his foot had an injury. It was almost paralyzed. So he was told to mention the most beloved. He was not able to walk on his foot. So he was told to mention the most beloved to him. And so he said, he called out, Ya Muhammad, sallu ala Rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And when he said, Ya Muhammad, he was instantly cured, as the Sahaba, as the Tabi'een, witnessed that in front of them. This story of Abdullah bin Umar was mentioned by Al-Bukhari in the book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. So this hadith itself is enough proof to refute the Wahhabis that say it is shirk to say Ya Muhammad, or that it is shirk to seek blessings from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar kana yusalli fil amakin allati salla fiha an-nabi lil baraka. Wa raghm dhalik ibn Taymiyyah yaqul dhalika dhari'atun lish-shirk. Ibn Taymiyyah says that is the act of Abdullah praying in the places where the Prophet prayed. He said it's a reason for shirk. That is in his page called Iqtida al-Sirat al-Mustaqim, page 389 to page 395. How could one, wal'iyadhu billahi ta'ala, say about Abdullah bin Umar such a statement? وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Please check the references and make sure what I am saying is exactly in the pages that I am saying. Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned that in his book called اِقْتِضَاءُ الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ, page 395 and 389. Also regarding his accusation to Lady Fatima, the wife of the fourth Khalifa, Sayyiduna Ali radiyallahu anhuma, look into the page of Ibn Taymiyyah, into his book called Minhaj al-Sunnah al-Nabawiyyah, which is not according to the Sunnah, the way of the hundreds of millions of the Muslims. Also, brothers and sisters, Wahhabis declared great scholars of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah as misguided. They declared takfir here and there, and that is why they permit the killing of the Muslims and bombing them in the cities and countries by the name of Islam. Their leader, Ibn Uthaymeen, in his book called Liqa'u al-Bab al-Maftuh, he said about al-Imam al-Nawawi, and Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the ultimate and the seal of the Huffaz of the Hadith, and the Imam al-Suyuti, he said, they are not amongst Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. And also one of their leaders also on in a recording declared Imam al-Nawawi and Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani and Imam al-Suyuti and others as misguided in the beliefs, in the creed. So brothers, I hope that you are taking the references down, because this is amongst the amr in al-ma'roof, the ordering in al-ma'roof, and the forbidding of al-munkar. Wahhabi is not only declared the scholars of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. May Allah give them victory to Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. They not only declared them as misguided, they also declared the great sultans of Ahlus Sunnah as misguided. They declared Sultan Salahuddin al-Ayyubi as misguided in the Aqidah. You can see that in a recorded tape, which we have by the voice of one of the Wahhabis named Jasir al-Hijazi. And that was also mentioned on their one of their websites, and we have the recording upon request. Also, they deem most of the Ottoman sultans and leaders as mushrik blasphemers. You can see that in the same recording that we mentioned. And also they mentioned that in one of their books called Fathul Majid for Abdul Rahman Hassan bin Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, page 352. If you open that page, you will see how they declare all the Ottoman sultans, al-Uthmaniyin, as-Salatin al-Uthmaniyin, they accuse them with shirk and grave worshipping, wal-iyadu billah, as you might notice that they are accusing the Muslims nowadays with that as well. Dear brothers, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered us to warn from the unlawful. In fact, he said, إِنَّ النَّاسَ إِذَا رَأَوِ الْمُنْكَرَ فَلَمْ يُغَيِّرُوهُ أَوْشَكَ أَنْ يَعُمَّهُمُ اللَّهُ بِعِقَابِهِ. This means the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is saying in this hadith that people, if they see the unlawful and they do not change it and warn from it, then the torture from Allah Ta'ala will be sent upon them soon. The mercy from Allah will be withdrawn from them, and Allah Ta'ala will punish them for neglecting warning from the evil. And Abu Ali al-Daqqaq said, one of the great scholars, he said, As-sakitu anil haqqu shaytanun akhras, which means the one who is silent from telling the truth is a mute devil. And we chose not to be mute devils. We chose to show the true way of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, Nasarahumullah, and the false way, the misguided way of the takfiri Wahhabis who misuse the name of the Salaf, Nasarahumullah. The great Salaf is clear and disown the beliefs of the Wahhabis that they are trying to promote nowadays. Dear brothers, who could dispraise whomever the Prophet praised? Who could say about someone that the Prophet, peace be upon him, praised? Who could try to dispraise him? You might say no one, but reality says Wahhabis are willing to do that. We have found a recording for the Wahhabis declaring the great Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih, who conquered Constantinople after many companions have tried to conquer it, and only Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih II was able to conquer it by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore he was praised by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith that says, لَتُفْتَحَنَّ الْقِسْطَنْطِينِيَّةِ وَلَنِعْمَ الْأَمِيرُ أَمِيرُهَا وَلَنِعْمَ الْجَيْشُ ذَلِكَ الْجَيْشُ, which means Constantinople shall be conquered and praise is the ruler of that city, and praised is the leader of that army will be. And so the scholars said that that hadith applies on Muhammad al-Fatih, because it is a fact that it is known that Muhammad al-Fatih the second conquered Constantinople in Turkey. And you can check the references of what I said, not only in the recording that we have available on the internet, on YouTube, where the Wahhabis say about Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih as a misguided and a blasphemer. In fact, they mentioned that in their book called Fathul Majid wal-Iyadu Billahi Ta'ala. Wahhabis also claim that all Ash'aris, like Imam al-Nawawi and Ibn Hajar and Suyuti and others, and all Maturidis, like Imam al-Nasafi and others, whom are the majority of Ahlul Sunnah, as Kuffar wal-Iyadu Billahi Ta'ala, and they called them different names that I even cannot mention for you, dear brothers and sisters. You might want to check the references. You can see it in the introductory by Muhammad bin Salih al-Fawzan, one of the sheikhs of the Wahhabis, and his book about the book called At-Tawheed for Ibn Khuzaymah, where they consider the Ash'aris and Maturidis unanimously as grave worshippers and blasphemers and mushriks, wal-iyadu billahi ta'ala. And you wonder why they cause takfir to the Muslim nation and to the Muslims and permit killing them by the name of Islam. We chose not to be mute devils, and we chose to warn from the evil and support the true call of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'a and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, Wahhabis accused all Sufis as mushriks, and they said they must be eradicated and targeted wherever they are. You might want to check the references in their book called Al-Majmu' Al-Mufid Min Aqidat Al-Tawheed, and it is not really the Tawheed, in page 55, and also in their book called I'sar Al-Tawheed for their sheikh called Nabil Muhammad, where they say that all the Sufis are grave worshippers and are mushriks, wal-iyadu billahi ta'ala, when we all know that many of the scholars and the fuqaha and the mufassireen were following Sufism, which is an optional, additional way to do ibadah for the sake of Allah ta'ala and to pray the nights after performing all the obligations and refraining from all the sins. Of course, with a proper belief in Allah existing without a place, without a direction, without dwelling into his creations, without the belief of the hulul, because none of the true Sufis believe in hulul, wal-iyadu billahi ta'ala. But Wahhabis considered all the Sufis as mushriks, and they said they must be eradicated and targeted while they leave the enemies of Islam spreading and attacking the Muslims from every corner. And we all know that even Ibn Taymiyyah praised the great Sufi leader Imam Al-Junayd Al-Baghdadi, who was a great Sufi scholar. In fact, Ibn Taymiyyah said about him that he is a great Imam, a great renowned Imam. And also there are great scholars among the Sufis, such as Imam Ahmad al-Rifa'i and Imam Abdul Qadir al-Jailani, and Imam Ibn Arabi, who used to say, "Man qala bil hulul, fadinuhu ma'lul," which means, Ibn Arabi said, which means, the one who believes in hulul, then his belief is flawed, which means his faith is corrupted. So we cannot accuse all the Sufis. Yes, there are some Sufi claimers who have wrong beliefs, and we all warn from them, such as the followers of Nazim al-Qubrusli, and such as the followers of the Yashruti Tariqa. They claim that Allah dwells in all the creations, and they say Allah is inside of everything, wal-iyadu billah, and this is kufr. And some of them, they say reciting a part from the Quran may render the person better than the prophets and the martyrs. This is extreme beliefs that none of the Sufis agree with. But these are sayings of some of the people who misuse the name of Sufism, and we warn from those people. But the true Sufism is asserted from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Among the misguidance of the Wahhabis also is they declare shirk on the one who says dhikr, la ilaha illallah, in a certain number. They say, the one who says la ilaha illallah with a count, the count of 1,000 times, then this is an act of shirk. A'udhu billah. You might see this in, you can check the references in their book called Halaqatun Mamnu'a for their leader called Husam al-Aqad, page 25, where they say the dhikr in a count of 1,000 times, to say la ilaha illallah 1,000 times, they said this is an act of shirk. Wal'iyadhu billahi ta'ala. So brothers, how could a person not warn from this deviant sect? I have more information to give you, and I hope that people are writing the references down, and if they are asking or would like to have a discussion or an educational debate, we as Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, Alhamdulillah, are willing to open up for a debate at any time, in any place, to see who is truly carrying the name of the true Salaf and the true Sunnah of the true Sunnah and way of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, and who is causing tribulation and fitna and problems in the Muslim communities. And we all know that it is the Wahhabis. Also, among the extremism of the Wahhabis is they claim that Islam ceased to exist between the era of Ibn Taymiyyah till Ibn Abdul Wahhab. You can see this in their book called Ibn Abdul Wahhab, the book called At-Tawheed for Ibn Abdul Wahhab, and also you can see this book by the great Mufti of Mecca in his book called Ad-Durar As-Sunniyyah, page 42, and what is after that page. He mentions how the Wahhabis considered that Islam ceased to exist between Ibn Taymiyyah and the founder of Wahhabism, Ibn Abdul Wahhab. Ibn Taymiyyah was approximately about 700 years ago, and Ibn Abdul Wahhab was about 250 years ago. So they consider over 300 years, they accuse the Muslims with kufr, with disbelief, wal'iyadhu billahi ta'ala. And you can also read the book Fitnatul Wahhabiyyah for the great Grand Mufti of Mecca, Sheikh Ahmad bin Zaini Dihlan, how he described the occupation of the Wahhabis and the killing of the Muslims by the name of Islam. Dear brothers, it is the truth. Wahhabis consider the Muslims as mushriks, and they consider that it's permitted to killing them. And that is why you are finding bombings and killings in the name of Islam in many countries. In fact, they declared most Muslim countries, namely in Egypt and in Libya and in Morocco and in India, in Persia and West Asia, in Syria, Nigeria, Turkey, Afghanistan, Turkestan, Sudan, Tunisia, Marrakesh, and Algeria and other places, with kufr and shirk. And you can see this. In fact, those countries that I just mentioned, they mentioned them in their book called I'sar al-Tawheed by Nabil Muhammad. They declare most of the Muslims in these countries with shirk and grave worship, wal'iyadhu billahi ta'ala. And that's why you see the bombings happening in Algeria, Morocco, Egypt, Tunisia, and other places in Sham, Syria, and others. Wahhabis have major problems in beliefs. It is not only their beliefs against the Muslims and their radical beliefs against the Muslims, they even have beliefs against the Quran and against the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wahhabis claim that hellfire will come to an end, as Ibn Taymiyyah claimed, and they confirmed it also. Al-Albani claimed or affirmed that Ibn Taymiyyah said that. And also Al-Qardawi agreed with Ibn Taymiyyah that hellfire comes to an end. And we say that Allah Ta'ala said about hellfire, خالدين فيها أبدا. So how could one say that it will come to an end when Allah Ta'ala said kuffar will be everlastingly in hellfire, and that hellfire has no end by the will of Allah? You can see what I mentioned, their claim that hellfire comes to an end, in their book called Raf'ul Astar, in verification by Al-Albani, page 28. And their book called Hadi al-Arwah for Ibn Qayyim, page 256. And in page Al-Qawl al-Mukhtar li Fana'i al-Nar for Abdul Karim al-Hamid, page 7. And their book called Sharh al-Tahawiyya li Ibn Abi al-Izz. Not the true Tahawi Aqidah. It is an explanation that they made up by Ibn Abi al-Izz, the one who was Mujassim, in page 427, printing by the Islamic Library, the Beirut. They say, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى, in these books that I just quoted, in these pages, that hellfire comes to an end, and that the punishment on the kuffar will stop. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And you can see that this is a clear opposition to Al-Quran and the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if anyone has any comments about these topics, we are willing to discuss it further, because we, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, have the proofs about what we say for every point that we are mentioning. But the reason I'm mentioning these points is to clarify why are some countries having problems, Muslims bombing each other, suicide bombings and killing and takfir and tribulation and fitna. It is mainly because of such radical extremist beliefs of Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Abdul Wahhab that are sending the radical ideas into the people and causing this fitna amongst the Muslims. Among the deviations of these people is they say things about the religion that have no proofs. For example, Ibn Taymiyyah was one of the ones who claimed that the triple divorce is not valid. He claimed that if a person divorced his wife in a session three times, then that divorce is considered as one. And we all know there is ijma' that triple divorce is considered as a final triple divorce. That means the person cannot go back to that wife unless she marries another person and so on. You can see this claim of Ibn Taymiyyah in the book called Kitab al-Faqih Muhammad bin Ali al-Dahan. It's a letter in refuting Ibn Taymiyyah in the issue of At-Talaq. You can see a little bit more details about this topic and how you can find that even Ibn Taymiyyah not only is deviated in Aqidah, but also deviated in Fiqh rulings. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Wahhabis also ban women from going on the internet alone by herself. And they said that she needs a mahram, non-marriageable person with her, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى, from their fatwas that have no Islamic evidence or proofs. You can see this in the magazine called Al-Qabas. It was printed on November 12, 2004, on Friday. So that means women are not allowed to go on the internet alone. They have to have a non-marriageable person with them because they are not trusted, they said. They said because of the deceptive intention of the woman. Look at how they think about women. They say their deceptive intentions. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And they also ban women from merely driving a car. Just driving a car, it's considered as forbidden. You can see the fatwa of Ibn Baz in his book called Fatawa al-Mar'a, page 92 in Al-Riyadh. And also in the book called Shubahatun fi Tariq al-Mar'ati al-Muslima. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. How they ban women from merely driving a car while they allow her to order a taxi with a male driver to drop her off wherever she wants. So I don't know how they came to such fatwas, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى, from the extreme ignorance that this misled group is falling into. Among the also misguided beliefs of the Wahhabis, they ban women from visiting the graves of the Muslims. They ban women from visiting the graves of the Muslims. You can see their fatwa by their leader Ibn Uthaymeen, which is called Fatawa Muhimma, page 149 to 150, printed in Al-Riyadh. And we all know that Muslim males and females, they visit the graves of the Muslims and read Quran for them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُنْتُ قَدْ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ أَلَا فَزُورُوهَا إِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمْ الْآخِرَةِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never said only males or females. Subhanallah al-Ali al-Azim. We ask Allah Ta'ala to protect us from the misguidance and to keep us steadfast on the creed of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also among their misguidance, they forbid women from merely wearing pants, even if it was wide or even in front of her husband. You can see this in their fatwa by Ibn Baz in their magazine called Majallatu Da'wa, magazine number, but that was printed in 1995 in page 28, number 1493. The printing time was in 1995, which is 1493 Hijri. In page 28, how they claim that it's forbidden for the woman to wear pants, even for her husband, in her home. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself said, رحم الله المتسرولات من النساء, أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Wahhabis also claim that the voice of the woman in front of the man as awra and forbidden to be heard. You can see this fatwa in, by the Mujassim Wahhabi Ibn Jibreen, who died recently, in their book called Fatawa al-Mar'a, page 211, Darul Watan, printed in Al-Riyadh. They claim that the voice of the woman, if it's heard by men, then it is considered as awra, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. InshaAllah ta'ala, I will wrap up by mentioning four more points about the sayings of the Wahhabis in which we have to be warned from. You will see that Wahhabis consider many things that the Muslim scholars find as permissible, they consider it as forbidden, such as making dhikr, saying La ilaha illallah in the janazah, saying La ilaha illallah in the count of 1,000 times, saying La ilaha illallah in group dhikr. In fact, when I was in Medina last year, I heard one of them on the microphone calling out and saying that making takbir in a group dhikr, saying Allahu Akbar in groups, is considered as a bid'ah and that it is forbidden, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And you all know that in Hajj, all the Muslims, they make dhikr in a group. And on the Eid, they make takbiratul Eid in a group. Yet, their leader Al-Albani, in his book called Fatawa Al-Albani, page 63, he said that this visitation of the Muslims on Al-Eid is forbidden. And they also, the Wahhabis also said that takbirat in a group is also considered as forbidden. And as I recall, I believe Ibn Baz himself also said that he considered takbiratul Eid to be said in a group is forbidden, wal'iyadhu billahi ta'ala. So according to the Albani, also visiting the Muslims when they visit each other on the Eid festive is a forbidden bid'ah. So don't visit each other on the Eid, sit at home. That's what the Wahhabis want you to do. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. How could a sane person accept that? Even they forbid visiting the graves on the day of Al-Eid as well, as we mentioned earlier. The Wahhabis also accuse people of Hijaz and Yemen as grave and stone worshippers. You can see this by the commentary of Ibn Baz on their book, Fathul Majid, page 217. The Wahhabis accuse the people of Sham, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Palestine. All of these people are considered, or most of these people are considered as mushriks because they worship Ibn Arabi, the great Sufi scholar. You can see this in the same book, page 217. The Wahhabis claim that Tawheedul Kalima, saying Wahidullah, Kalimatul Tawheed, in the funerals as forbidden. You can see that in the book called Al-Mawt, Izaatuhu wa Ahkamuh, for Ali Abdul Hamid in page 29. Tell me, brothers, who among the Muslims doesn't say La ilaha illallah in janaza? Who among the Muslims doesn't say read Al-Fatiha, ask the people to read Al-Fatiha and recite the Fatiha on their Muslims when they die? Tell me, where do you find these Muslims that don't visit each other on Eid and don't visit the graves and read Quran for them? Where are these Muslims that the Wahhabis consider as true Muslims when they claim that anyone who recites Quran for the dead Muslims is considered as a misguided person in wal'iyadu billahi ta'ala? This is extremism, clear extremism. And we are ready for open discussion or debate if necessary. Also, I will conclude with one fatwa for their leader, Al-Albani, who is the leader of the Wahhabis, who died recently, in his book called Silsilat Al-Ahadith Al-Da'ifa, hadith raqam 83, he says that using the masbaha beads for dhikr is a forbidden bid'ah. Using the masbaha to make dhikr is considered a forbidden bid'ah. A'udhu billah. Where do you find a Muslim on earth? I don't want to be exaggerating, but I don't think there is a Muslim house that doesn't have a masbaha in it. I think, subhanAllah, the majority of the Muslims, they all use the masbaha for dhikr. They all recite dhikr in groups. La ilaha illallah, alhamdulillah. They all make takbir on al-eid, takbiratul eid in groups. They all visit the graves of the Muslims and the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they touch it for barakah. And yet all the fatwas that I mentioned consider that the ones who do this are considered as misguided. So that means the majority of the Muslims are misguided. Only the Wahhabis are not misguided, according to them, wal'iyadu billahi ta'ala. And the Wahhabis are only about 2 million. Whereas we, as Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, alhamdulillah, we are hundreds of millions all over the world. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, our response to all these accusations is that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said in the hadith, لا يجمع الله أمتي على ضلالة. This hadith refutes all the claims of the Wahhabis in their fatwas that oppose the majority of the Muslims. This hadith means, Allah protected my nation from straying unanimously. However, Wahhabis declare the majority of the Muslims as blasphemers, and thus they promote chaos in communities. And this is a portion of their deviated beliefs that every sane Muslim disagrees with. We have the full references from their books to each and every saying we mentioned here in this lesson, in this lecture, and we have not exaggerated a bit in exposing their false claims. We find that these radical beliefs in the books of the Wahhabis that are floating around, especially in poor countries, labeled by free books, not to be sold, with attractive paintings, but full of poisonous, devious ideologies, we ought to warn from them and warn from these fatwas whenever we can. One must warn from their books that ruin the thoughts of our communities, just like inserting poison in the honey and feeding it to the people. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us from such a time. He warned us from such a time. He said in the hadith related by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, قال عليه الصلاة والسلام أناس من جلدتنا يتكلمون بألسنتنا تعرف منهم وتنكر دعاة على أبواب جهنم من أطاعهم قذفوه فيها. We ask Allah to protect us. This hadith means there are people whose skin is the same color as ours, who speak the same language as we speak. They mix correct matters which you know with bad matters which you denounce, which means they correct the statements with the deviated ones. They stand by the gates of hellfire inviting others to enter. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. If one listens to them, they push him in. This is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So be keen not to be among them and not to make anyone who doesn't know about the Wahhabis follow them, and let those who are able warn from these Wahhabis whenever they can. It is of utmost importance for the Muslims and people in communities to look thoroughly at whom they acquire knowledge from. And so beware of the Wahhabis. Imam Muslim related in his Sahih the saying of the highly esteemed follower of the companion Sayyiduna Muhammad ibn Sirin, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينَ فَانْظُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ, which means this knowledge contains the rules of the religion, so look thoroughly into the person from whom you acquire the knowledge of your religion. And we as Ahlul Sunnah, we take our religion from the Quran, not by making our own delusional opinions, rather by following it as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered, and we follow the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we adhere to the way of the companions, especially the best of them, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and Sayyiduna Umar, and Sayyiduna Uthman, and Sayyiduna Ali, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu wa ardaah, and upon all the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the righteous ones, and the true salaf, and the khalaf of the scholars, especially the way, according to the way of the four schools of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, the Shafi'i school, which is our school, and our great Imam, Imam al-Shafi'i radiyallahu anhu, and also following the school of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and Imam Abu Hanifa, and Imam Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. I ask Allah ta'ala to guide us to what is acceptable, enable us to be always steadfast on the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to be always protectors and defenders of the creed of Ahlul Sunnah that the Prophet, peace be upon him, brought to the people. And Allah knows best. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. For full references of what we said, please visit this website www.alsunnah.org, alsunna.org. We ask Allah Ta'ala to keep us steadfast on the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the way of the Ahlul Bayt and the companions. Allahumma ameen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.